You've just never been loved that much. And the fact is, who you think you are can't be loved that much. It isn't even acceptable to be loved that much, whoever you think you are. It's like trying to pour a pitcher of water into a glass. You can't pour infinite love into a finite receptacle, because your cup runneth over. You just can't handle it. It's just too much, too much, too much, too much, too much. And I knew at that time that I had made this contact with Mahabharata, this very powerful contact with him, and that we were eternally linked at a place. And I never understood it, and later we had all of this weird correspondence with one another about LSD. What had happened with Mahabharata was that I had written, I became a lover of Mahabharata, and then I received notification that Mahabharata had said anybody that uses drugs cannot be his lover. And that the people using drugs, people that were his lovers, shouldn't have anything to do with the people using LSD. And in my family at the time were a number of people who were lovers of Baba, and there was me in this community, and I was connected with LSD irrevocably, it seemed. And so the question was, should our community split up, since they weren't allowed to have anything to do with me? They wanted to stay with him. I mean, he laid the law down, see. So I wrote him a letter, and I said, this isn't fair. See, I said, because it was only by taking LSD that any of these people came to dig you at all in the first place. How could it all be bad? You know, there's something wrong somewhere. And I really, you know, like you and feel warmly towards you, and please help me through this thing. You know? So he sent me a telegram, and he said, your letter made me happy. I know you are a sincere seeker of truth. My love will help you. And then, it's very funny, because in telegrams they put stop at times, see? So you could read this, my love will help you stop. Or you could read it, my love will help you stop. My love, blessings to you and those with you. Stop, letter follows, Mahabharata. And then the following letter came from Mahabharata. Mahabharata said to tell you that he knows everything. He knows LSD is different from the opium derivatives. I pointed that out to him in the letter, figuring, you know, maybe he thought drugs are drugs. And although you will see from the body of the letter that Mahabharata does not countenance drug-taking for spiritual experiences, he says that you can, if you want to, take LSD three more times and you should stop taking it completely. That one really blew my mind. I mean, I didn't even know how to begin to interpret that. What could he possibly mean? Why three more times? Who am I? Why, if me, then you? Should I say to everybody three more times? Am I a Baba lover if I take it three more times? See, the first time I took it, after I received this letter, was the time that I had this darshan with him in with LSD, when we stayed on the Greek hill together for 3 hours. And just so you'll understand the perplexity of this situation a little more, one day when I'm sitting with Maharaji in India, after I have written to Mahabharata saying, I'm about to leave India, may I come and have your darshan? I am with my guru in the Himalayas. Shortly thereafter, I receive back a letter saying, Mahabharata is in seclusion and cannot see you. He knows you love him and that kind of thing. And then another thing is a little printed brochure from Mahabharata saying, there are many people who call themselves gurus, but there's only one true master, and I am it. In other words, saying, whoever you say your guru is, like... I wrote the letter to the guru on a Tuesday. On a Wednesday, I was taken to see Maharaji. This is in the Himalayas, and he says to me, you are going to see Mahabharata? He's never mentioned it before. I've never mentioned it before, right? So I said, well, I don't know. I've written to have darshan. And he says, he is your guru. I said, what? What? And I thought maybe I didn't hear it right. And the translator was about to say it again, and Maharaji says, no, don't tell him. No. He just smiled at me. And I went around to everybody in the group saying, what did he say? He said, he's your guru. Maya Baba says, you should not come to India this year. You should love him more and more and remember him wholeheartedly and continue studying his books. Although Maya Baba is in seclusion and all correspondence to and from Maya Baba is severely restricted, he and his love explain to us the consequences of drug taking for spirituality, the gist of which is as follows. No drug, whatever its great promise, can help one to attain the spiritual goal. There is no shortcut to the goal except through the grace of the perfect master. And drugs, LSD more than others, give only a semblance of spiritual experiences, a glimpse of a false reality. The experiences you elaborate in your letter and book are as far removed. I had sent him a copy of The Psychedelic Experience based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead. The experiences you elaborate in your letter and book are as far removed from reality as is a mirage from water. No matter how much you pursue the mirage, you will never reach water, and the search for God through drugs must end in disillusionment. Maya Baba, who knows the way, who is the way, cannot approve the continued pursuance of a method that not only proves fruitless, but leads away from the path that leads to reality. Now, I want you to know that when I received this letter, after many months in those three sessions, I took my fourth session. All right? In other words, I rejected the implications of this letter. It is human and therefore necessarily wrong-sighted to view the result of the drug by its immediate relative effects. Our inability to calculate its end result is beyond our human knowledge, and only the true guide can point the way. To a few sincere seekers such as yourself, LSD may have served as a means to arouse that spiritual longing which has brought you into contact with Maya Baba. But once that purpose is served, further ingestion would not only be harmful, but have no point or purpose. Now your longing for reality cannot be sustained by further use of drugs, but only by your own love for the perfect master, which is a reflection of his love for you. You may feel LSD has made a better man of you socially and personally, but one will be a better man through love than one can ever be through drugs. And the best man is him who has surrendered himself to the perfect master, irrespective of his personal or social standing. Maya Baba has pointed out that the experiences derived through the drugs are experiences by one in the gross world of the shadows of the subtle planes and are not continuous. The experiences of the subtle sphere by one on the subtle planes are continuous, but even these experiences are of illusion, for reality is beyond them. And so, although LSD may lead one to feel a better man personally, the feeling of having had a glimpse of reality may not only lull one into a false security, but also will, in the end, derange one's mind. Although LSD is not an addiction-forming drug, one can become attached to the experiences rising from its use, and one gets tempted to use it in increased doses again and again in the hope of deeper and deeper experiences. Eventually, this causes madness or death. Only the one who knows and experiences reality, who is reality, has the ability and authority to point out the false from the real. Hence, Maya Baba tells us who care to heed him that the only real experience is to continuously see God within oneself as the infinite, effulgent ocean of truth, and then to become one with this infinite ocean and continuously experience infinite power, knowledge, and bliss. Yours sincerely, Adi K. Irani. That's the first of a series of letters. Now, I've gone through an awful lot of changes about that letter in the past 1966 July. 3 years since I received it. I received it just 3 years ago. There was a long period of time when all of my lectures in California were picketed by the Mayababa people, who handed out to everybody at the door copies of this letter. As I would be lecturing on LSD. And what I did was I included in all my lectures a discussion of this letter and how I interpreted it at the time. And now, as I think about it, I see some of the subtle points that Mayababa was talking about that I didn't understand before. For example, I see the kind of ego game that is involved in decisions to ingest a chemical. I will take this. I will seek enlightenment through taking this. I also see that he's absolutely right that the experience isn't continuous, that we do come down. And I also sense that he is right in that the majority of the experiences one has through psychedelics are concerned with the subtle plane, with the astral sphere. They are astral experiences. But I think that the emphasis in the letter should have been placed on the glimpse of reality. Because that's all that it takes, and that's what LSD did. It gave the glimpse of reality. It provided that glimpse, that taste, that touch. And once that glimpse had occurred, then one could start to seek by other means to be able to retain higher states of consciousness. And he was also certainly right that love was going to finally be a higher vehicle. Because I could take LSD with somebody and during the time of the LSD experience have overridden all of the separateness and then 12 hours later look at them like, who is that? I don't even know you. Well, that was yesterday, baby. Now, the fact is, through love alone, I can't get into that same total oneness just like that with anybody all the time that I could before. But when I do get into it, there it is. And it's there today, and it's there tomorrow, and it's there the next day. And here we are, and it just keeps getting, like, the sea gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I just feel like there's more and more of the people in the sea of love in which I live. And here we are. Here we are. See, Maharaji shows me that what it is in me, who I really am, is lovable, is love, and that I am ergo invulnerable. That is, there's nothing I'm going to think or do that is going to make me any less lovable. My actions may create horrendous karma, but I will still be a lovable being. And finally I accept that, and I say, yeah, right, that's the way it is. And for the first time, I start to feel that beautiful. I start to feel that beautiful. Can you imagine feeling like you are love, or you are light? You're just pure light. Because we came out of the West where it was all conditional. Always conditional. Nobody even considered the fact that you could just be lovable. Now I come back and I meet somebody and there's that moat, see? And he on his side of the moat is sitting in a place where he says, in effect, I have done a lot of bad things, ergo I am only conditionally lovable, and I may hurt myself and risk something, and I better stay back. And I'm sitting on my side saying, I'm invulnerable. What's there to lose? Ergo, at that moment, I am the higher consciousness. Ergo, whoever's going to jump across the moat, it's going to be me. It's not going to be him. So I look at somebody who is looking at me with absolute paranoid distrust, and I look at them with the, I love you eternally. Do you ever try doing that to somebody? It's really an interesting experience. You don't come on. You don't say, like, do you love me? Or you don't say it to them. You merely see that in them which is eternal, and you love it. You allow yourself to fall in love with it, fall into love with it. Fall into oneness with it. And you've got to be prepared for that first reaction from the other person of, what's he coming on about? What does he want? What's this new subtle thing? Like, I know I'm not that lovable. What kind of a hustle is this? What is he selling? You got to be ready for that one. And when that comes, if you're still thinking you got something to lose, boy, you just lost it. And very often people have enough center to be able to send that first message, and the minute it's rebuffed, forget it. They go into a wild, paranoid spin-out. See, I practiced changing my habits of thinking about who other human beings were for a long time. See, I would sit all night in this cabin. For 3 or 4 months, I was all alone in the cabin, and I would sit there with a picture of Ram and my guru and Hanuman, the monkey. And I would sing to them. I would sing love songs to them all night long with my tambura. Like, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jay Guru Dev. Hail Divine Guru. Or Rama, Rama, Rama. And I just allow that love to just flow and flow and flow and flow and flow and flow. And they were such beautiful, pure beings. It was so easy to love them more and more and let the love just flow out of me some more and more. Then along would come somebody else. Somebody else. Here comes somebody else. Straighten up. You know. Wipe that look of wild adoration off your face. Here comes somebody else. Who's somebody else? Somebody else. And it was very good, you see, because I'd be alone so much of the time, and I'd be in this love scene, so I'd get so high at night, I'd be running naked around the cabin, playing my tambura, screaming love songs at the top of my life, laughing hysterically. I mean, I was just completely flipped out, you know. And it was so good. Oh, wow. I mean, just all the colors, and it was all candlelit, see, and the lights would keep changing, and I'd keep going into these other states where I'd just be, you know, I'd just turn into liquid, and I'd... Oh, it was so beautiful. Then I'd see a car drive up the driveway. Quick, put on your clothes. Sit down, get straight. Look holy. Don't look like a flipped out, you know, Meshuggah, be real, you know, watch it, you're a very fine line, look too crazy, you know what happened. Very delicate. And then I noticed, see, after a while, you notice that very discontinuous place where you come back into the, you know, that hardness of that place in your head, and you don't want to come back in. It's a horrible place. Why do I only entertain in that room? Why don't I entertain in the other room where it's so beautiful? You know? I'd always entertain that room when I was high on LSD. We'd always have those places. We'd sit around the fire, and we'd all be just like, wow. You know, just all beautiful. Here we'd be together. But 10 hours later, like, yeah, you know, ooh, that was right. Very interesting session, wasn't it? Mm, yes. Don't bother me. I get jittery after sessions. And then I was reading a lot of Ramakrishna at the time. See, and Ramakrishna really helped me because Ramakrishna pointed out that everybody I was meeting was Ram anyway. Everybody was just God, just sort of in drag. You know? Sort of. And what happened when I took LSD with Mahababa? I don't think the Mahababa people like having me say it that way. When we turned on together, say it even more horrendously, we got stoned in the Greek hills, Mahababa and I, was that after I had looked at him this way and I said, what is it like to be behind his eyeballs? You mean, what would it be like to look out on the world as if you love it eternally? See, so I snuck in behind his eyeballs and I looked out. And I looked out on this world in which it was all so beautiful. Wow. It was all enough, always enough. Everything I looked at was like, oh, yeah. I could look at him, and I could look at the other pictures in the book. I could look at the writing in the book, but I couldn't look at any other people that way. Jane, the girl I was with at the time, was sitting about 10 feet away, and I couldn't look at her that way. Too big a commitment. Too much risk. Might lose something. Too vulnerable. What happens if I should say to her, I love you eternally? My God, who knows? I'll end up with her baby and with, you know, the whole scene. Her debts. All her craziness. Well, who needs that? I couldn't at that time conceive of how you could love a person without loving all of their stuff. I couldn't even understand that. It just didn't make I couldn't break through that place. See, and it was easy to love Maya Baba because I could love all his stuff. What did he do? He went around washing the feet of all the musts, all of the god intoxicants. You know, he'd go out in the riding with his followers, and they'd come to a guy who was so stoned out on his love for God that he was just sort of, you know, ants were eating him, and, you know, like, dung was all around him, and they'd come out with him, and Maya Baba would get a big bowl of water and wash the guy and push food into his mouth. He went on these tours feeding musts, you know. Wow, I could love that. Yeah. I mean, Maya Baba was a lovable cat. He was beautiful, and he was, you know, and all his pictures showed him, like, wigged out, and I could easily love him, and all his stories were lovable. I didn't feel vulnerable at all loving him. But loving Jane and all of her dentist bills and her baby and all of the whole thing and her broken down Ford and, you know, and all of her philosophy head and her smoking habits and, wow, and all that stuff, man. That was a lot of stuff to love. No, I couldn't make it there. Not with eternal love. I mean, I'm going to be stuck with that chain smoker for eternity? That's heavy. Now I'm back from India, see, and I'm saying there's something wrong here because I'm so high, and then somebody drives up the road, and then I'm stuck back in this place again. And I keep examining this place and going in and out, and then I go through the thing of everyone is Ram, everyone is light, everyone is God, nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. I can love the Atman in everyone. I can love that place in everyone where they are light. So then I sat and I would say, well, I'd see a car ride up and I'd be very high. I'd say, who has Central Casting sent me today? It was going to be God who Central Casting had made up as somebody or other, and they had come to teach me something. What have you come to teach me today, God? Ram. Yeah. Somebody would come up and I would look at them totally as Ram. Just as if I had been making love to Ram, now I'm making love to whoever it is that walks in.